Okay, I want to thank each of you for being here this morning that have come out. Obviously, because of our present situation, we do not have many here at all, but that's what we arranged for. Before we do begin today, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to gather together in Jesus' name. Father, when I think of your word, I'm reminded where it says there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I praise you for that wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, wherein we can put all of our trust and find security. And I'm asking, Father, this morning that you would take, Father, these words that you have given me, and I ask that your Spirit would give life to them. I ask that they would give life, God, to the Christian, and I ask that they would give eternal life for the first time to the non-Christian. Lord, bless your word today. I pray that you would gather near us and strengthen us with your word in this turbulent time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I'm going to give you a title, and then I'm going to give you some opening thoughts before we get into our scriptural text. The title for our message today is The Christian's Response to the Coronavirus Plight. Again, The Christian's Response to the Coronavirus Plight that we find ourselves in. Let me expound on that with some opening thoughts here, as I said, before we do get to our scripture. We, Christians and non-Christians alike, are experiencing together a time of global pandemic that has changed the activities of the world. While our daily routines have been greatly altered, there has been a shaking among the races that has caused far deeper ramifications than personal disruption. It is called fear. Something today that we are experiencing here in our land and throughout the world is something far more reaching than this virus itself. Now, I'm not downplaying this coronavirus at all. Unfortunately, we've seen many sick, we've seen deaths in our land and around the world, but I want us to understand something as Christians, from a Christian perspective, that there's something deeper and far more reaching than the virus itself, and that is the fear that is being planted in our society, not just here in America, but around the world as we're seeing so many people affected by it. And I believe that there are many so-called Christians today that are living in fear by this present virus. By the way, am I saying we should not be concerned? We shouldn't use common sense, washing our hands and such things like that? Not at all. But I know one thing as Christians that God calls us not to be, and that is to fear the very things before us. And we have found ourselves in a very interesting situation where even many of our elderly population has never seen something like this before. Now, I'd like to just take a moment and expound on fear, by the way, relating to this coronavirus as an unhealthy fear. You know, there is a proper fear, by the way, that is good and healthy, and it's called the fear of God. It's when we respect God and when we reverence Him and when we see Him because we delight to be in His presence and we get to know His character and His ways, and we start to reverence Him and appreciate Him and respect Him and give the honor due unto Him because we know His ways. It's like we read in the book of Psalms, the children of Israel knew the acts of God. They saw His acts and His miracles and the parting of the Red Sea and the such like things. But it said something about a single individual, Moses. Moses knew the ways of God. And the reason Moses knew not only the powerful miracles of God, but the ways of God, it's because he delighted to be in the presence of God. And I'm here, as I'm going to expound on a little bit later, the secret to the Christian's escape from falling into fear with this coronavirus thing is to delight ourselves in the very presence of God. But to get back to this, expounding a bit on this unhealthy fear relating to our present plight, I'd like to draw that fear out in a biblical explanation. You remember Adam and Eve, by the way. We know when Adam and Eve, they had but one commandment to the best of our knowledge in the Bible, and that is that they could eat of all of the fruit of the trees. It seems like even the fruit of the tree of life, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because it was said to Adam that in the day you eat thereof, you will surely die, and God does not lie. Amen? He cannot lie, and we're grateful for that. But listen, we know the story goes that Eve, through her deception by Satan, took of the fruit and gave also unto her husband with her, and they both did eat. It wasn't just her. They both ate, they both sinned, and they both fell. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they realized, wow, we're not covered. We're naked. How can I explain that today in 2020 Christianity? Simply, they realized that they were not morally pure in a perfect way anymore because they sinned against the living God. And by the way, isn't that what sin does to us? Sin is the transgression of the law. When we know the Word of God and go against it, what does it do? It decays us morally. It takes the morality out of us and turns us into the likeness, may I say, of that serpent that deceived Eve, namely the characteristics of Satan, which we don't want anything to do with. But what happened after they sinned against God? They covered themselves with fig leaves, and then they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And what did Adam do? What did Eve do? They hid themselves because they were what? Afraid. Listen, that was an unhealthy fear because God never intended for Adam and Eve to hide themselves from God. He wanted them to delight themselves in His presence, feel secure in their presence. And listen, by the way, when Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what did they express? They expressed unbelief. They weren't trusting in God. They weren't taking God at that one commandment that you and I know they had, but they did what was right in their own eyes, and they paid the price, and they started hiding from the presence of God. And listen, an unhealthy fear causes us to lean on our own understanding, try to figure things out in our own strength rather than rely on the living God. And an unhealthy fear, rather than causing us to trust in God, it causes us to pull away from God as Adam and Eve did. And so I just wanted to take a minute to expound on what an unhealthy fear is. And listen, how does this relate with this coronavirus today? You know, my heart goes out. My mother, back in Ohio, you know, of the older generation, she has asthma. She has respiratory issue and underlying conditions. So my heart goes out very much to her, and she needs to be very careful. But there are many running around today, and instead of seeking God, what do we do in this pandemic? What is your heart? How do we conduct ourselves? They're trying in their own strength to do this and that. And because of their fears, instead of relying on God, they're running from God and doing things and saying things that are not healthy, but are unhealthy for them and those that they are affecting. Let me give you a quote, by the way, by John Newton, as I go to the opposite side and look at the saving faith, may I say. John Newton says this: how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Amen? It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. That's beautiful. Listen to that again. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. You know, when we have faith in Jesus and when we're leaning on the Lord, fear is driven away. Now, I want to pose a question to those of you here this morning and those of you that will listen to this message later, and I'd like to then answer it by Scripture. The question is this: how should we Christians respond in this global pandemic? We know it's not just isolated to our country. This is a global pandemic that's affecting thousands and thousands of people. But how should we as Christians respond during this time of global pandemic? Well, the Scripture has the answers. You've heard me say this over and over because I believe it in my heart. The Bible is its own great interpreter, and the Bible will explain to us how we as Christians should be conducting ourselves during this frightening time for many. Let us look at Proverbs chapter 3. Those of you that are here this morning and would like to look at your Bibles, you know I always encourage, if you can, to be able to put your eyes on the Word of God. You know, I believe it's one thing to hear the Word of God, but I also believe it's another thing to see it with our eyes, engaging in the Word, may I say. Proverbs chapter 3, I'd like to look at two verses this morning that give us a biblical answer of how we should respond during this global pandemic. Let us look at Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. The Bible states, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." We'll stop right there. Now, I'd like to give you three things from the scripture here that pertain to the Christian's response during this frightening time of this global pandemic. I want to give you three righteous responses in the eyes of God according to the Bible, and then I'd like to consider two things at the end, and that is the blessing of trust and God's resourcefulness with this virus. But before we get to that part of the message, let us consider three things how we as Christians ought to be responding during this time using our two verses here in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Our response, number one, is found in verse 5. The first few words there say, "Trust in the Lord." Our response is to, number one, trust in the Lord. You know, you've heard me say, and I enjoy this, I love to take words and just peel back, you know, what we see with our eyes at times. Sometimes it's not necessary because it's very obvious. But as I was studying this word trust, though I was familiar with it, I found something neat that may be said in the Arabic language, or at least depicted, and that is to, like, it seemed to be, throw yourself completely down. And in other words, you know, when one is trusting in the Lord, it's this way, may I say, it's taking their whole life and just casting it at the feet of Jesus. And it seems that the Arabic language kind of depicts this trusting in the Lord in this way. And listen, we're not supposed to just trust a little bit. We are called to wholly cast ourselves upon the Lord. What does this mean? Our character, our ways, our intellect, our everything about us. And listen, I want to encourage us today that our response during this global pandemic is not to try to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and defeat this thing in our own strength, but it is to trust in the Lord. But how? How do we do this in a practical way? Not only are we called to wholly do it in spirit, soul, and body, but the Bible goes on to explain this practically. It says in the latter few words of verse 5, "with all thine heart." We are called to trust in the Lord, not in our head alone, but with all of our heart. Let me give you a scripture explanation that may give us an insight into this thing practically, what it means to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Do you remember the scripture in John chapter 9 of the blind man that was born from his birth? And the disciples posed a question there. I think they said, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Of course, the Lord said neither of them. And then the story goes on how this blind man enters into a conversation with the religious crowd, and he actually starts prophesying truth to them. And I don't know if they were convicted or whatever, but they eventually cast him out, and they didn't want to hear the message. And so Jesus heard about this blind man being cast out, and he sought him out. By the way, isn't that beautiful? Jesus goes to seek the lowly. He seeks the humble. He seeks the contrite in heart. He goes and seeks after who the world calls despised and wants to redeem them. Hallelujah. And he went to go find this blind man. In verse 35, it says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." Listen to the practicality of how he believed, or the outworking of it. It says, and he worshipped him. And he worshipped him. And you know, I believe that worship at times is when it goes back to what I was saying in the Arabic language, when it speaks about trusting the Lord with all your heart, casting yourself down, may I say. Listen, there's times of worship when we cast ourselves at the feet of Jesus like John. Remember when John had the revelation of Jesus in chapter 1 and all of his glory? John fell at his feet as he was dead. Now, he didn't stop breathing, but he was so fear-struck of the awesomeness of God. He fell at his feet. And listen, we're called to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. As that blind man said, Lord, I believe that you're the Son of God. And then he worshiped him. You know, our trust comes from the heart. It comes from within. And as that blind man worshiped him, perhaps even in a stretched out way before his feet, so you and I need to practically trust in the Lord beyond our head, but with all of our heart. On the inside, in our soul, in our spirit, in here, God can change the inside. It's one thing to be reformed on the outside, but it's another thing to be transformed on the inside. And when we've been transformed by the Spirit of the living God, we can trust God in the secret places of our life, in spirit and in soul. Those of you this morning, I can't see your spirit and soul, and you can't see mine. But listen, that's the place where we need to trust God. Many people have a form of trust on the outside, but they don't have what we're talking about this morning, where the soul is leaning on Jesus. Remember how John, the great apostle, leaned on Jesus' breast before he was crucified? That's what we need to be doing in our spirit, totally leaning on the Lord. Now, I want to, look at here a minute of another scripture, because we had here, trust in the Lord, and then with all thine heart again. Maybe I just will expound upon this, I should say, from the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 13. Do you remember the two men that went up into the temple to pray? The one was a Pharisee and the other a publican. And you remember that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Listen to these I's coming up in verse 12. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He had this mental ascent of God, understanding, may I say, faith. But look what the publican, not a lot said about his life, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what I call heart faith. This publican didn't have all the I did this and I did that. Simply smote upon his breast, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, because God, I in my intellect can't approach you. God, I in my works cannot please you. But it is I whose heart you need to change, can worship you and trust you from within. And that's called trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. Secondly, I'm going to give you a second response that we as Christians should have from the Bible. We learned here from verse 5 and point 1 that we need to be trusting the Lord and in a practical way with all of our heart, as I described to you. But secondly, the scripture goes on. And in the latter part of verse 5, it says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Secondly, our second response during this global pandemic is that we should not be and must not be leaning to our own understanding. What does that simply mean? Well, it means what it says, right? Lean. Don't rely on our own intellect, how we think it needs to be figured out, what we need to do. Wouldn't it be a blessing, by the way, if every doctor on this world, if all of the medical world would say, you know what, we're going to take the next 24 hours and we're going to fast and pray and we're going to call out to God to give us wisdom to know the right applications of medicine and actions in the medical world to take to help these people. Wouldn't that be a really relying on God? I'm thankful for the medicines of this world. My youngest child was probably saved by it. Good chance when he was very sick. I have nothing against it at all. But I tell you, it would be a blessing if the medical world would say, we're going to call a fast and pray for the next 24 hours to seek the wisdom of God. But often they're leaning to their own understanding and trying to figure this out in their own strength. But the Bible gives us a second response as a Christian, and that is that we should not lean or trust or rely on our own understanding. By the way, what does this look like in the negative sense of leaning on one's own understanding? Well, let me tell you, and I've already done the research and reading of this earlier, but in Joshua chapter 9, and if you want to write down verse 14 in particular, it's the important verse, but if you read the first, 17 or 18 verses, you'll get this story. And that's when Joshua and the men of Israel met up with the people called the Gibeonites. Do you remember the Gibeonites? Well, the Gibeonites in Joshua chapter 9, they had heard, of what God did for the nation of Israel, how he destroyed the two kings, Sihon, and Og, the king of Bashan. And these Gibeonites were afraid of the nation of Israel because they knew God was fighting for them. And so they, through deception, had a plan. They were going to, and by the way, they were neighbors unto the children of Israel. They weren't from a far country. They were their neighbors. And so they put upon them old clothes and old shoes. And they took wine bottles that had grown old. And the bread that they had brought was moldy. And they came, and they had old garments. And they came to Joshua and the children of Israel and wanted to make a league with them, a pact that they would not destroy them because they were afraid of them. And so they deceived them by saying that they came from a long journey and tried to get them to understand that by, look at our old clothes and look at our wine bottles worn out and look at these old garments we have and our bread being moldy now. But you know what? In verse 14 of Joshua chapter 9, this is a word we should actually maybe look at because it's extremely important, because as we look at the negative aspect of leaning on one's own understanding, the Bible does not leave us without righteous counsel of what this looks like. Joshua chapter 9 verse 14 says, "And the men took of their victuals, their provisions, food, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord." They didn't ask the Lord, "Lord, are these men our neighbors or not? Are they really people we should make a league with?" But Joshua and the men of Israel, and the Bible gives us verse 14 very clearly because it was teaching us a lesson. Remember, Romans says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And the Bible gives us comfort by learning through the mistake of Joshua and his men of Israel. And instead of them asking God, "Shall we make a league with them or not?" they leaned upon their own intellect and understanding and made a league with them without understanding God. How should we conduct ourselves with these Gibeonites? And they paid a price. And listen, I'm here to say three words are very important for you and I as we go through this plight in 2020, this global coronavirus pandemic, and that is, get God counsel. We need to get God counsel. Remember, we used to see this little sign on the cars. It became so famous. I think it's kind of fizzled out now. Get milk, We used to say, get milk. Well, I'm going to give you three words that should be famous every day of our life. Get God counsel. Hear from the mouth of God. Let us learn from the lesson of the Gibeonites and not lean on our own understanding and try to make our own provisions during this pandemic. What should we do and what should we not do in our own strength? I'm here to tell you we're setting ourselves up for mistakes, even if it be running on the tank of fear rather than progressing as Christians by faith in Jesus Christ. And you know what? When we look to the Lord and rely on the Lord, we truly do not lean on our own understanding, and we find our ways clear and plain before us. Let me give you third response from our text here of how we as Christians should respond during this pandemic. And the Bible, again, explicitly lays this out in verse 6. It says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." Our third response is that in all of our ways, including during this crisis, we need to be acknowledging him. God, acknowledge simply means to know. Or I could use another English word, to perceive, to see. Well, listen, how do we, by the way, see what is right? How do we know where to walk as Christians? How do we know the will of God? Is it by hiding as Adam and Eve did from the voice of God? No, sin causes us to be out of the Bible. By the way, I'm going to tell you this morning what keeps us out of the Bible in prayer: sin. You know, when there's sin in the heart, and listen, by the way, you sitting here this morning and those listening, you may say, well, listen, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not a thief, you know, but you know what, I'm here to say this. The Bible says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If we know that we should be in the Bible, if we know we should be in prayer, if we know we should be in church, if we know we should be doing the will of God and not doing it, that's sin itself, though I may be keeping all of the outward Ten Commandments herself. And I'm here to say that the only way we're going to really know and perceive what's on the heart of God, being able to acknowledge him appropriately, is by delighting in his presence, that we will perceive from his life where to go, how to conduct ourselves, how to live during this time of pandemic. Again, let me give you scriptures from Psalms that just build on this truth of acknowledging him. Psalm 37, verse 1, though it's talking about evildoers, let's make it practical for our time, this pandemic. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Can I add in? I'm not adding to the Bible, but I want to make it practical. The coronavirus. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily, which means truly, thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Here we see from Psalm 37, David speaking to us about delighting ourselves in the Lord, trusting in the Lord. By the way, when we're really trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, when we're leaning not unto our own understanding, but as John was leaning on the breast of Jesus and relying on God's grace, that means that we are delighting, lingering ourselves in the presence of God. We're taking time to fellowship with God. We're taking time to pray. We're taking time to read the Bible because I need to get to God. No, but because I am a born-again Christian and I love God and I want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Psalm 73, do you remember the Psalm of Asaph? Asaph didn't understand why the wicked were prospering and had this money. And you know, it's like, here, I've cleansed my hands for no use, in vain. You know, here I'm serving you, God, and the wicked is prospering. What's the problem? Well, in verse 17, Asaph went into the sanctuary of God. And let me read to you what he said that was very important when he was struggling with why the wicked were prospering. He said in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. It wasn't until Asaph drew near to God, approached him, and found understanding of the ways of the wicked, of their end. And listen, you know what? You and I will not know how to, in a pleasing manner to God, respond appropriately during this pandemic if we are not acknowledging him. Acknowledge meaning to know, to perceive. Listen, we're not going to know the depth of God's ways and perceive how he wants us to conduct ourselves if we're hiding as Adam and Eve did because of sin. But if we're drawing near to God, as James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to us as we draw near to him. God says, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to bestow a blessing upon you. I'm going to give you understanding how to walk, how to talk, how to breathe, how to conduct yourself during this frightening time, because God doesn't want us to be fearful and afraid and shaking in a bad way. He wants us to be prospering, and that's why I'm excited here briefly to get to God's resourcefulness in this virus, how he's actually being resourceful in it. This is exciting, but hold on. Now, I want you and I to consider two things this morning. I want us to consider two things here, and that is the blessing of trust in the Almighty and as I spoke to you early, God's resourcefulness with this virus. First, I'd like us to look at the blessing of trusting in God Almighty. Remember our scripture? With all our heart, our whole spirit, soul, bodily, inwardly, outwardly, everything. So let's look at that blessing of trusting in God in that manner. Proverbs chapter 3, 6 gives us the answer of what this looks like. Let us look back at our scripture. It says in verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him." Here comes our answer. "And he shall direct thy paths." The blessing of trusting in God Almighty with all of our heart is a clear path to walk upon. Even during this frightening pandemic, God says, "Listen, I want to set a light in your path. I want you to know how to live. I want you to know how to talk. I want to make you a witness to others that are fearful. I want to make you productive. I want to make you proactive. I want to make you fruitful. And if you trust in me with all of your heart and don't lean on your own understanding, if you acknowledge me in this pandemic, I'm going to make you fruitful in it. I'm going to make your path plain and clear, and I'm going to use you." God wants us to have a clear path to walk upon. Let us finish verses 7 and 8 in Proverbs 3. It goes on down. The Bible says, as it continues really on our subject in verse 5, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." Again, we see that. Don't trust in your own self and how you see things need to be done. It says, "Fear the Lord and depart from evil." That fear, you see, goes hand in hand with trust. When we trust in the Lord and really believe on him, we fear him. We reverence him. And when we reverence God and fear him and respect him, it's because we're trusting him. They go hand in hand. And it says, "Fear the Lord and depart from evil." By the way, trusting in God and fearing God go hand in hand. And when we're trusting in God, we're fearing God. And when we're fearing God, we're trusting in God. And listen to this. The result of fearing God is departing from evil. Remember I said to you, some people say, "Well, I don't commit adultery. I don't steal. I don't do all these majorly outward things." But I'm here to tell you, when we're not leaning on God with all of our heart, evil is crouching at the door. Matter of fact, those of us that know to do good and trust in the Lord and are not, that's called sin. That's called evil. But trusting in God allows us to escape and depart from evil. Listen to what verse 8 says. "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Navel, really, if you study the word, it talks about an umbilical cord. It's an umbilical cord that goes to a baby, because the baby, you know, in the womb is fed through that umbilical cord from the mother. The mother's nutrients that she takes in goes through the umbilical cord and into the baby and makes the body baby healthy as a whole. But there's that cord that does it at that time. And listen, the Bible says when we're not trusting in our own eyes, but we're trusting the Lord, fearing the Lord, which causes us to depart from evil, it's going to bring health to our body. It's going to bring marrow to thy bones. It's going to bring strength. And isn't this beautiful? As the mother's nutrients through the umbilical cord strengthen the baby, so God, as our sustainer and provider through his channel of life into our soul, imparts life as we're leaning on him. Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist says there, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." By the way, I don't know if we've considered this, but when we really trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we trust his word. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we trust the word of God. And when we trust the Word of God, we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And this becomes, that is the Word, a light unto my path, a clear path to walk on. Now, as we finish up our message here this morning, I'd like to look at this second thing that I was sharing with you that I'd like to consider, and that is God's resourcefulness through this present global plight. God's resourcefulness. Now, we looked at how you and I need to be responding, right? Now I want to look at the response from God in this global pandemic that he wants to accomplish in his children, and certainly wants to use this pandemic to bring the lost to him. But let us look at how God is resourceful in using this pandemic. You know, I stand here this morning and I'm very careful to say, I'm not here to tell you with all of my heart that God directly sent this pandemic. But I'll tell you what, He's using it because God's resourceful. And I'm going to show you from the scripture how God wants to make it resourceful in your life as a Christian and in mine. 1 Peter chapter 1, by the way. Now, I want you to understand in 1 Peter, Peter was talking to, it seems, scattered Jews that were scattered because of persecution. Because 1 Peter, you could tell that these were suffering saints. They seemed to be dispersed Jews that were scattered from maybe their homeland, Judea, Jerusalem, wherever it was. And now we're scattered because of persecution. And Peter talks to them. And he goes on to say this in verse 6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold or varied temptations." But the Bible, through Peter, speaks to these believers of how God wants to be resourceful through their manifold temptations at that time, as He does today in our pandemic. Verse 7, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Listen, as God did then through these suffering saints, and as He is doing through the suffering saints today, I want us to know that as this global pandemic has went worldwide, God wants to cause the faith of His children to be found, may I say, more and more unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And as we lean on God and do not lean on our own understanding, God is going to be resourceful during this time and say, "Listen, you're trusting me. I'm going to make it a blessing to you. I'm going to cause your faith to grow more and more unto praise to me, honor and glory that I want to give you at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Praise God. And then 1 Peter ends again in a way that gives us a peek, a clear peek into God's resourcefulness as then, so today, in our plight. Chapter 5 of the same book, 1 Peter 5:10. It says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Praise God. God, even then, through their suffering, wanted to accomplish four things in them, as He wants to accomplish in us as Christians today worldwide through this plight. He wants to make us perfect. And in other words, this word perfect means complete. He wants to complete you and I in all of His work. You know, you and I, when we received Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we were made complete. We didn't need another Savior. We didn't need another avenue to salvation. But when we got born of the Spirit of God, our life's journey with Christ wasn't over. And we've been walking this journey. And as we walk in this salvation, God says, "Listen, I want to make you complete in all of this salvation. I want to sanctify you deeper, all the way till the appearing of Christ, where you take on your resurrected body. And I'm completing salvation." And God uses sufferings to complete us in His work. He uses it to establish us. You know, it's like you take we have a garden, some of you do too, and you make your plantings of your plants, and you dig down in that soil, and you plant that little plant of whatever sort it is deep down in there, and you pack the soil there, and you, because you want to make it firm in there. You want it to have a chance to grow. Well, God wants our faith to not only be completed, but established, strengthened, firm. He wants to strengthen us, give us strength. And when I was doing a little word study on this, this word strengthen was so that you and I can be proactive, or maybe better said, productive in our Christianity. God wants to take our trials and our testings and to strengthen us, make us strong, not just because so we can sit here and smile at others, but that you and I would have the opportunity by the grace of God to go tell others, "You don't have to fear. You can trust." And lastly, it says He wants to settle us. This word settle is like when you, it has this meaning. It's like when a man or woman lays a foundation for a house, and they take the house and they put the house on the foundation. It's a complete settling and absolute firmness, so that when the winds and the waves and the trials of life come, our house is not swept away because it's on a firm foundation. With that, let me conclude. here in Matthew what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 7. This verse came to me. It wasn't in my text originally, so perhaps the Lord wants me to conclude with this. Let us conclude here in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Jesus said here, speaking, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, such as this coronavirus, and beat upon that house, and it fell not." Why? Because the Bible says this, "For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Unbelievable truth of trusting in God, trusting in His Word, and the security to not be swept away by the winds and trials of life, such as this global pandemic. But then we see the tragedy of one not trusting in God and His Word and that house falling hard. And you know what? Unfortunately, we're going to see some Christians today that had a form of trust but didn't have that heart fully leaning on the Lord. Their little personal world's going to be crushed because their faith is not secure in the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for the opportunity to gather together this morning. I pray that You would take these few words, Lord, and I pray that You would give life to them, that all that listen would be greatly edified, God, and we give You the praise and trust You deeply during this time. In Jesus' name.